2 Kings in chapter number 2. And we're going to read verses 1 to 8. And if you're able to, let's stand and we'll read our text. And then we'll pray and be seated and look at this passage of Scripture here in 2 Kings chapter 2. Verse number 1. It says, "It came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, Tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha, and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? He said, Yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. He said, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha, and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, Yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Tarry, I pray thee, here, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan. And he said, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too went on. 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off. And they too stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters. And they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground." Let's pray. Father, Lord, I thank you, Lord, for your blessings. I pray you'd speak to us and teach us, Lord, your word tonight. Show us, Lord, what you showed me this week. I pray that I just share it clearly. God, it might be a help to others, and Lord, I pray an encouragement to us. In your name I do pray. Amen. Thank you, and be seated. So, you had the prophet Elijah. The prophet Elijah was told by God that he soon would be taken up, and we know what happened. There was that chariot of fire, but God took him up in a whirlwind. And he knew that was going to happen, so he goes to Elisha, and he speaks to Elisha, and then tells him that to stay there because he's going to walk from Gilgal to Bethel. And Elisha looks at Elijah and says, As the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. Elijah, I believe, was testing the commitment of Elisha. And Elisha said, I'm not going to leave. So they walked together. Then when they get over there to Bethel, he again meets with the sons of the prophets and tells Elisha again, you know, you stay here. God is directing me to go to Jericho, and you stay here. And Elisha says, As the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And so they go over there to Jericho. And then they leave Jericho. He says, Now the Lord's directed me, Elijah says, to go to Jordan River. You stay here. Elisha said, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And he goes with him to the Jordan River. Now, it may not sound like a big deal, but I think it's really important that, number one, this man of God, before the Lord took him up, he wanted to spend some time with Elisha. Elisha was the man who he was going to, again, he already placed his mantle upon him, but he was the one who was he had trained to take his place, to continue on. Of course, we know the latter end of this story that we did not read, that Elisha was offered to ask anything of Elijah before he went, and he asked for that double portion. And God granted that. And Elisha was a tremendous prophet for the Lord. The sons of the prophet, he went and visited them in each of these places, and I believe encouraged them. What were they? They were kind of like college Bible students, training for the ministry, if you want to put it in 2019. But they were young men that were training to go on and to serve the Lord. And they obviously had a walk with God because they knew also that Elijah was going to be taken up that day. And again, I mentioned on Thursday the importance, as even they had it here, but the importance of us as a church to be committing to faithful men these things so that they will be able to teach others also. And the great need in our churches today for faithful men to receive teaching and then to become teachers and to send forth others as well. But it's interesting to note, and this is what caught my attention this week as I was studying this, that as Elijah took this walk, that he went to four different places. Now, I do not believe that they were by chance, because I really thought about it. I just ran out of time to do it, but I thought about getting a quick map of ancient Israel so you could see it. You probably, a lot of you could glance in the back of your Bibles and see what I'm talking about. Most Bibles have those maps back there. Or if Brother Seuss is awesome, maybe you could find a picture. I don't know, but I doubt it. I'd asking a lot. But again, to get the idea, all right, if you started in Gilgal, let me put it this way. If this is Gilgal, the Jordan River beat the microphone, all right? Now, if you end up crossing the Jordan River, you'd think you just kind of, but that's not what they did. And that day, he walked from Gilgal to Bethel, Bethel to Jericho, Jericho to the Jordan River. So this was not just a haphazard walk. He specifically went to these four places. They were not just on the path. He spent the entire day going to these four specific places, and I believe he had a reason. And that reason, I think, will teach us a lesson tonight. But I want us to take this walk with the prophet tonight, and I want us to consider where he went. Number one, look in chapter 2 and verse number 1. He starts out there at Gilgal. Chapter 2, verse 1 says, "It came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal." So he started in Gilgal. What is Gilgal? What's the significance there? Well, let's look back and see it, all right? So we'll come right back there, keep something there if you would. But look back in Joshua chapter number 4. In Joshua chapter number 4, let's look at verse 19. Joshua chapter 4 and verse number 19. Joshua, of course, becomes the leader. People of Israel, Moses, is now removed. Joshua is established as the leader. In Joshua chapter 4 and verse number 19, it says this. Of course, they crossed the Jordan River. When they crossed the Jordan River, remember they carried, the priests carried the Ark of the Covenant. When their, before their foot hit the waters divided. They walked across on dry ground. When they crossed over, here's the passage in Joshua chapter 4, verse 19. "The people came up out of Jordan on the 10th day of the first month and encamped in Gilgal, in the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, When your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean these stones? Then ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until ye are passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were gone over, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever." So this place of Gilgal was where, when they first crossed the Jordan River and entered into the Promised Land, it was the place where they first camped. It was the place where they stopped first and they set up a memorial to remember that God had indeed brought them into this land and delivered them. There was something there, or the people I'm sure knew, all right, if whether his 12 stones were still sitting there speaking that day or not, but they knew this was the place. A little bit more about this place in Joshua chapter number 5, it was in this place that the people of Israel, the men, took upon themselves the covenant of being God's people, that of circumcision. And then in verse number 8, it says in Joshua chapter 5, "It came to pass when they had done circumcising all the people, that they abode in their place in the camp till they were whole. And the Lord said unto Joshua, This day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you. Wherefore the name of the place is called Gilgal unto this day." So Gilgal represented a couple things. Elisha starts his journey with Elijah that day there at Gilgal, which I believe represented again how it was the place where they first came into the Promised Land. It was the place where God showed His great power in having divided the waters and given them this land. It was a place of new beginning as they took upon themselves the covenant of being God's people. A new start, a new leader, a new beginning. And that's where Elisha started with Elijah. I think he's teaching him a lesson and giving him a little history lesson here. And I think it's good for us to stop tonight and to remember a very simple message. But church, never get over, never forget the time in your life when things changed in your life and you became God's person. When you became a child of God. The day you were redeemed. The day God showed His power in your life. The fact that God can take a people and have a new beginning. It's important that you and I look back on that, remember that, rejoice in it, remember it, and reflect on it, and share it every opportunity that we get. I want to encourage you tonight to take the trip with Elijah tonight, and let's stop and stand there at Gilgal, and let's look back and remember, hey, this is the place where we became God's people. This is the place where things changed in my life. This is the place, and I'm not saying you have to have memorized the address where you got saved or anything like that, but you ought to be able to stop tonight and think, I am thankful that I am God's child. I am thankful for the power of God that worked in my life. I am thankful that I serve a God of new beginnings, and that I can look and call Him my Father, and that He is my God. And that is something we should never get over. Matter of fact, if there's something I could encourage the members of, especially the men of Kazzato Baptist Temple, learn to amen. Learn to rejoice. And again, I'm not trying to pat somebody on the back. It's the fact is, you are preaching when you're amening what is preached from the Word of God. Now, I hate show. I hate when people amen for things that shouldn't be amen, right? You know, my dog the other day, it scratched my car. Amen, preacher. Why are you amening that, right? But amen is this. That is the truth. And so be it. It's something that we as a people, when the Word of God, and again, For me, I'm going to preach no matter what. Matter of fact, just to let you know, I usually preach longer when you don't amen because I think maybe they haven't got it yet. Because I'm so excited about this and they're not. All right? And I'm kind of kidding. Relax. It's okay, everybody. All right, yeah. Y'all okay? Maybe. We didn't sing our favorites. You're mad at me, aren't you? All right? We'll do it again, I promise. All right? All right? But the fact is this, be excited about your salvation. Be excited about what God's done for you. And share it with other people. They were at a place where there were 12 stones stacked on each other so the children never forgot what God did. Now, we're not stacking up stones anywhere about the day that we got saved, but what we should do is we should be a living testimony, lively stones, if you will, that people can see in our life that we are thankful for what God has done in our life. We ought to praise Him. We ought to sing with all that we have. I love today on the bus. Jace rode the bus with us today. He was on the bus this morning. And we started singing. And Jace, when everyone started singing, he just started going, ah! And I mean, just sang with all he had. I thought it was the greatest thing, man. He was just singing as loud as he could. We all ought to do that. We all ought to be excited about what God's done in our life. We all ought to rejoice. We ought to never get over it. We ought to tell everybody we can. We just taught our discipleship class, and I encourage you. I told them today, I wish everybody in church was in here tonight. Because the whole lesson's on witnessing, and we're going to do it in 2 weeks, all right, and finish that lesson up, Lord willing. But the importance of witnessing. Witnessing is telling what happened to you in your own words. And I'm thankful that's what God instructed us to do. That you and I are to go and just to share what God did in our lives. If you go and I challenge the class tonight and just flip through the Gospels and start making a list of people that got saved, you'll have a hard time seeing, what exactly did they say when they got saved? Well, the Lord doesn't say. There's a reason. The reason is because it's not what we do, it's about who we believe in. And all we're supposed to do is to share how we came to a point to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and who Christ is and what Christ has done for all of us. But we ought to take the trip here tonight, walk into Gilgal. Remember, this is the place where we became God's child. This is the place where I made a covenant to God. This is the place where God gave us a new start, a new beginning, and we ought to rejoice in it and thank God for it. Then he said, let's make a trip, and they went out west. Completely out of the way, and they walked over to a place called Bethel. 2 Kings chapter number 2, and in verse number 2, they went to Bethel. Now, what's Bethel? Bethel, you remember, that's the place when Abraham came into the promised land, Genesis chapter number 12, that he worshiped God. When his grandson Jacob fled his family, he spent that night there at Bethel. You remember, it was at Bethel he would have the vision of the angels going up and down, ministering to him. When Jacob came back into the land of promise, his first stop was there in Genesis chapter 35 at Bethel, which he referred to as the house of God. Don't ever forget the importance, number one, at Gilgal, that time when God made you a new person. When he showed forth his power, things started over in your life. And don't ever forget, number two, you can see Elijah teaching a lesson without saying it. The importance of worshiping God, fellowshipping with God, just spending time in his presence. I encourage you, church, I know this is a simple thing, but the fact is this, if we did all the simple things, we'd be doing a lot better. But please, learn to spend time with God in prayer every day. It is part of our covenant as a church member that we taught on Thursday nights to maintain a daily time with God. To pray. I want to encourage your pastor tonight. I know this may be more what we'd refer to maybe as milk instead of meat, but we need that sometimes. Would you spend time with the Lord every day this week? So I don't know how to pray an hour. That's fine. Pray 5 minutes. If you already pray 5 minutes, try to pray six. Just spend some time with God. Just spend time with Him. You see what happens? The more time you spend with Him, the more easier it is to fellowship with Him. I mean, every husband and wife understands that, right? I mean, when I first met Stacy, I would sit there, I would sit up the night before trying to write down things. What all can I talk about, right? Nervous. What conversation, you know, can we have? But the more that we got to know each other, the less that has to be done. I don't have to prep what to say to her. We just enjoy each other's company. With the Lord, can I challenge you something? Don't ever forget the important. Now, Elijah could have taught Elisha a lot of things. There could have been some really serious, doctrinal, powerful lessons, I'm sure. But he took a walk with him and said, don't ever forget Gilgal, the place where we became God's people. And don't ever forget Bethel, the importance of just fellowshipping and worshiping God. Talking to God. Understanding that my God, just as with Jacob, He will take care of us. He will provide for us. Church, learn to open your Bible and read the Word of God. Spend time in that book. You know, how many chapters should I read? Do not care. How much do you read? I read till God speaks to me. Till I get something. How many verses is that? Sometimes it's half a verse. You say, you're so unspiritual. The Lord showed me something, man. I dwell on it. I'll study a little bit. Think on it. You know, tune in on our little daily devotions that we do on social media. You'll see, you know, pretty much things I'm studying. On my personal devotions. Things that God shows me. Nothing is like earth-shattering. No one's ever watched one and goes, that is so spiritually in-depth, right? No, it's just God encourages me. He shows me something. The other day I read, you know, and I mentioned it, you know, king of Israel, Jehoram, goes with Jehoshaphat, and then they team up with the king of Edom, and they're going to say, should we attack the Edomites or not? And the Lord basically said, if it wasn't for Jehoshaphat, I'd let you all get whipped. But I like Jehoshaphat, right? Now that's my commentary on it. Aren't you glad I don't write commentaries? All right, but I like Jehoshaphat, so go ahead, it's going to be blessed. You know, and I want to be that person. I just want to be that person that maybe in my little community, in my town I live in, the friends that I have, that can just be a blessable person. Just learn to let God speak to you. I read this morning in my devotions. Again, nothing earth-shattering. But remember whenever with Elisha, I'm just a little bit past this in my personal devotions. In Elisha, when this woman, the Shunammite, makes a prophet's chamber for him, and he's out of town, and she asks for a son, and God blesses us with a son. Elisha prays for that, and that child dies. You know, and this really helped me this morning. Maybe it'd help you. I'm just sharing the importance of fellowshipping with God. When she came and fell at Elisha's feet, he makes this statement. He said, the Lord hadn't told me what's going on. You ever been there? You just don't understand. You wish you had answers, but you don't. And then she shares, my son's died. She said, why did you let me ask for a son if God's going to take him? So he sends his servant Gehazi with his rod, a staff, and says to wave it over the child. And he does. And guess what happens? Nothing. The kid's still dead. Again, simple thought, but I just read that this morning. I thought, how are we going to handle when God doesn't do what we think? And I loved what he did. He went and he prayed. And guess what happened when he prayed? Nothing. He walks around the house, the Bible says. Then he goes back and he lays on top of the child. His hands upon his hands. His mouth upon his mouth. And then God revives this child. This consistency. He didn't give up. He put himself in the situation and said, God, sometimes that's all we got. I look back and I write down, I've told you this before, I know this is really simple. I put down, I use Twitter for that purpose, all right? But you can go back and see, I have no few comments on that. All I do, it's for me personally. I could care less. But I put a verse that God spoke to me every day. Say, why do you do that? Because sometimes you start feeling, and it's nice to scroll through that and see, oh yeah, God told me this, and God told me this, and God told me this. You say, well, God's not telling me anything. He will. He will. But you got to look for it. You got to look for it. Like this book that I wrote, I looked over it for grammar. I did pretty good. I gave it to my mom. You would think I'm in second grade, man. She like, not because she belittled me. I made so many mistakes. I'm like, no wonder I never taught grammar class. All right. And she corrected it all because she knows what she's looking for, right? She was looking for things. I'm just more excited about the content. She's looking at, you know, this is the wrong pronoun tense. What? You know, but she knows. And if we open up the Bible saying, all right, God, I'm looking for something today, He'll show you. See, Elisha, did he become a great prophet? Unbelievable prophet. What parting words did Elijah give him? Not much. He just took him to a place and said, let's go visit Gilgal. Don't ever forget where God changed things. Let's make a 20-mile trek out west to Bethel, completely out of the way, but don't forget the importance of fellowshipping with God. And then they went back east. a little bit more south of Gilgal, back to Jericho. Chapter 2 and verse number 4. And they stopped there at Jericho. I think we all know what Jericho is. That's one of the fun stories when you're in Sunday school. Jericho was the place of the first victory for Joshua. A symbol of what obedience can do. Both positive and negative. When they obey God, despite how foolish it may be seen to them, and it would have seemed foolish to you too. You know, what are we going to do today? Walk around the city and don't say anything. Then that seventh day, they walked around the city. They all shouted, they claimed the victory, and the walls fell down flat, the people all killed themselves, and they got a great victory that day, and God did that. Don't ever forget Jericho. What obedience can bring in your life. But Jericho is also known for something else. There's a man named Achan. I'll never forget my freshman year at college. Some guy preached a sermon, I never forgot it. Achan stole the bacon. And I never forgot his name, right? But Achan went against what God told to do. He went and he looked at those things and stole those things after coveting those things. He tried to hide those things and it cost Israel greatly. And I think by no coincidence did Elijah stop by Jericho just to remind this son in the faith that, hey, go on. Don't ever forget Gilgal, the place where it all started, where God's redemption power has been. Don't ever forget Bethel, the importance of fellowshipping with God and worshiping God. Don't ever forget Jericho and how God will bring victory when we in faith obey Him. And by the way, the entire city of Jericho was to be given completely to God's glory. And may everything we do in our life be based upon the foundation, may God get the glory in this. Or we can live for ourselves. But Achan will testify tonight that does not work. And then they went to a forest place and walked over to Jordan. This time just the two of them, and they approached the waters there in chapter 2 and verse number 6. And as they approached the waters, no doubt they remembered it was this river that God divided on dry land. We can read it there in chapter 2 and verse number 6. Elijah said unto him, "Tarry, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan." Verse 7, or verse number 8, Elijah took his mantle, wrapped it together, and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. Brought him back to remember a day when Israel first crossed into that land, and God did that amazing thing. Okay, what's the lesson here? The same God that did it then, the same God that can do it now. He is just as powerful now as He's ever been. He can bless now just as He blessed before. He's in control now just as He was in control then. Which I think is why Elisha was bold enough to say, "I'd like a double portion. Because I want that God to work through me." And then Elijah is taken up in a whirlwind and he is gone. But I think this walk had a purpose. Son, don't ever forget the day when things changed in your life. God in His power gave you a new beginning. Remember it. See those stones? Share it. Don't ever forget Bethel, the importance of worshiping God and God meeting our needs and fellowshipping with God. Don't ever forget Jericho, that there will be victories when we obey Him in faith and give Him the glory with our life. Should we choose to disobey and live in our own flesh and our own desires, there will be tragedy and defeat. And the same God that did it before, son, same God that can do it now. I hear all the time, used to, but I spent an entire year's theme on it, so they quit doing it, right? Saying, well, you know, the good old days. I'm thankful for the good old days. But I don't live in the good old days. I still think we can have some good days right now. I don't think God's done. I don't think God has lost His power. I don't think God has lost His authority. I don't think God has lost the ability. I don't think God has lost the opportunity. If we as God's people will seek God and we never forget the day that God became our God and we spend time worshiping Him and fellowshipping with Him and we live a life of obedience and walking with God by faith, giving Him the glory in everything, then God can do what He did back then even more today. But don't forget it. And all of a sudden this chariot of fire separates the two of them and He watches Elijah taken up. Elijah didn't throw up his hands and say, well, it's over now. He took up the mantle. And he said, let's go. Church, let's do the same. Father, I pray.